Rabbi, let's begin. Okay, I want to begin with a short idea I saw from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. He says that we find in the Torah the Mishkan is described with three terms. Number one, it's described Mishkan Ho'edus. Number two, it's called the Mikdash, V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'soichan. And number three, it's called the Ohel Moed. Three different ways the Torah describes this structure that we learned about in this week's parsha.
What's the first one again?
The first one is the Mishkan. Mishkan, which is short. Mishkan is short for Mishkan Ho'edus. Sometimes the word Mishkan is alone, and sometimes it's used. It's more the full. The Ohel Moed. Hashem speaks to Moshe from the
Ohel Moed.
Mikdash.
Mishkan Ho'edus, number one. Number two, Mikdash. Number three, the Ohel Moed. So he says a beautiful idea. He says, why do we find in the Torah these three terms that corresponds to the concept in Pirkei Avos? Al shloisha dvarim ha'olam oimid. Al ha'toira, al ha'voida, v'al gemilas chasadim. When the Torah tells you that to build the Mishkan ho'edus, the Mishkan which is the resting of the Edus, what is the Edus? Edus is the Torah. It's the Luchos. The Mishkan is the center of the Mokoyim HaTorah. This is the Mishkan. Mishkan Ho'edus. Mikdash, Avoda. Mikdash is the place where you serve Hashem. A person comes to pray, the center of the world where a person comes to direct his command to Hashem. Ohel Moed represents the concept of Gemilas Chasadim. Ohel is a tent of meeting. A place, literally means the place where you find shelter. The connotation of Ohel Moed, Moshe Rabbeinu came to find shelter in this Makom. Hashem was rested His Shechina upon Him, which represents the idea Hashem provides for your needs.
More like a place where coming together.
Coming together. A communal
bringing.
Okay, could be. There are different ways you can. He doesn't explain in detail. These are the three different terms corresponding. So I just wanted to add a little point, idea is that there, besides the three different terms of Mishkan, Mikdash, and Ohel Moed, each of them also have a different unique characteristic. The Mishkan moved. The Mishkan Ohedus was situated first in the Midbar, but then as the 42 Masos, it traveled. The Mishkan, the concept of the Mishkan, the way the Mishkan is used, is it traveled from place to place. And even when they came into Eretz Yisrael, there was the Mishkan was in Gilgal, and then it was in Shiloh, Mishkan Shiloh, it's called the Mishkan of Shiloh, and then it was called the Mishkan of Nova Givon, until finally it came to rest, for a permanent resting place was in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishkan has with it a connotation of a structure that's built in honor of Hashem, which is on the move. Mikdash has more of a connotation of permanence. The Asuli Mikdash, we don't call the structure in the we refer to the Beis HaMikdash as the Beis HaMikdash. We don't refer to it as the Mishkan anymore, because this is its final resting place. It's the Mokim is Kodesh. In the Midbar, the Mokim was not holy. Only as long as the Mishkan was there, then that location was holy. But the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, the Harabais, once it was built, that becomes a permanent place. Ohel Moed, on the other hand, although it started out in the Midbar, is unique to Moshe. It was Moshe's Ohel Moed. It was the place, once they came into Eretz Yisrael, it was no longer called the Ohel Moed. Ohel Moed was only called the Ohel Moed as long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. When there was a relationship between Hashem and Moshe, then it's called the Ohel Moed. When you came into Eretz Yisrael for the first 14 years in the Midbar, in Eretz Yisrael, in Gilgal, and you had the same exact Mishkan, it wasn't called the Ohel Moed anymore, because Moshe Rabbeinu was not present. And Hashem was not speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu on top, so it was no longer called the Ohel Moed. So what's the Musar Haskel? The Musar Haskel is, you take what Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says, and you put these two together. When it comes to the Torah, the Mishkan Ho'edus, that corresponds to one of the three pillars of the world, Torah. Torah is on the move. This is true in history. Where is the center of Torah? Torah is never in one, it moves. It goes from place to place. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we know the Sanhedrin, they were Golah 10 times. It then went to Bavel. And from Bavel, it went to different countries. Every single generation, Torah, the Mekoyim HaTorah, was always on the move. Heavy Golah, Lemokoyim Torah. You have to exile yourself to where Torah is currently located. Today, Baruch Hashem, Torah, I think, has gone back to Eretz Yisrael. It used to be they would say Torah was in America, right? That's true. It turned after the war. But already the balance of power has shifted, and today Baruch Hashem, the Mashiach, the Torah has now found its place back in Eretz Yisrael.
So Mikdash,
now what Mikdash? Mikdash represents Makom Avoda. Avoda, you find such a concept when it comes to Tfilah Avoda, Makom. Kol Hakoveya Makom Litfilaso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not turn you back empty-handed. When it comes to the second pillar of Avoda, which Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says corresponds to Mikdash, and what is the unique characteristic of Mikdash? L'shichnoi sidshu v'osa shama. Indeed, it means it's permanent, and we do find this theme to be absolutely true. When it comes to Avoda, there must be Mikdash. What's the third idea? And this is a little bit more difficult, but I think there's something here. Ohel Moed. Ohel Moed was a term that was unique to Moshe Rabbeinu. And according to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, this corresponds to the idea of Gemilas Chasadim, and that tells us that Gemilas Chasadim is unique to every person. Every person has to have their own niche in Gemilas Chasadim. You have to, every person has their own talents, their own koichos, and what you can do, no one else can do. So the third pillar the world stands upon is Gemilas Chasadim. It corresponds to the Ohel Moed. The Ohel Moed was the institution of Moshe Rabbeinu, unique to Moshe Rabbeinu. Only for Moshe Rabbeinu was it called the Ohel Moed. We just looked at it. Yeah, it's Moshe's Ohel Moed. Hashem comes and puts the Shechin upon that, and Hashem meets. Who's the Moed? When it says Moed, Hashem meets, who's he meeting with? He's meeting with Moshe, and Moshe's going to instruct Klal Yisrael. But no one else in Klal Yisrael had a shaychus to this meeting. So too, when it comes to Gemilas Chasadim, every person has to take hold of what is unique to their unique talents and devoted to serve Hashem and to serve Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go to another idea. I came across this idea in the Sefer called the Shalol Lo Yechsar. Many of you, I'm sure, have seen the series of Sfarim called Shalol Rav, Kimotzei Shalol Rav. You must have about 10 volumes. Kimotzei Shalom Rav, it's on Chumash, 5 volumes on Chumash, and he has a volume just about in every single one of the Moadim, and he has a volume already on Nevim, he has already on Yeshua, Shoiftim, Shmuel, Chilak Aleph, and Shir Hashirim. So after he finished, he went through many volumes, obviously the Mechaber wanted to do it again. So he started putting out a new series on Chumash. Can't give it the same name. Kimotzei Shalol Rav. So he called it the Shalol Lo Yechsar. A play on the same word, Shalol Lo Yechsar. And he has a discussion, a long discussion, why was there no Aron in the Bayis Sheni? What happened? In the Bayis Sheni, one of the five things that was missing, was no Aron, there was no Kapoyres. Why not? Why couldn't they build an Aron? And so there'll be an Aron, there will be no Luchos. The Luchos would gone, we'll put in Geniza. But since we find that this is the Tzur of the Beis HaMikdash, why can't we have in the Bayis Sheni a replica of the Aron to make with the three boxes and the Kapores? If Archkol can make a picture, so why couldn't the people who build the Bayis Sheni? What's the big deal? So maybe you'll tell me, well, if there is no Luchos, so then, what do you need the Aron for? Yeah. Everyone asks this question. They say, well, it's no different than the Ephod. The Ephod needs the Urim Bitumim. Ephod is not complete without the Urim Bitumim, the Shemos of Kadosh Baruch Hu, which caused the Choshen to light up. And there was no Urim Bitumim during the time of the Bayis Sheni that did not hold them back from making the Ephod. So you see that just because you're missing something with the Ephod, primarily was there to contain the Urim Bitumim, so you see that you can have something without the Urim Bitumim. The Shema Kadosh Baruch Hu was not there. They didn't have the Shema anymore. They still made an Ephod. So you can make an Aron without the Luchos. Whatever you can do, you should do. Why was it not done? Especially when it says by Yom HaKippur, you have to go do the Zrikal between the Badim. Why was it missing? So he gives many answers. Has a long discussion. There's a Rambam. And then he brings down from what he calls Migoin Echot. He doesn't say who the person is. Migoin Echot, the following answer. Brilliant answer. We have a halacha that in order to introduce a utensil into the Beis HaMikdash, you have to anoint it with Shemen HaMishcha. It has to be sanctified. You just can't make a utensil. The utensil has to be sanctified. So the Gemara is the question. That's what we'll find in good when it comes to the Bayis Rishon, when there was Shemen HaMishcha. But what about the Bayis Sheni, or after the time of Yoshiyahu, when Yoshiyahu was Nigman's Goynis? The Shemen HaMishcha, there's no Shemen HaMishcha. So how are you going to sanctify the new Kalim? So the Gemara says, the first time you use it, the first time you use a utensil is its sanctification. And this is a drash, the chazal. If you have Shemen HaMishcha, just smearing it with Shemen HaMishcha gives it sanctity, even though you have never used it. If someone will come along and use it for the private benefit, the chayiv for being moil b'hegdish. If there is no Shemen HaMishcha, you can use it all you want, but the first time you actually use it in service in the Beis HaMikdash, that upgrades it to its sanctity, to its kedusha, and now if a private person will use it for his own benefit, he'll be chayav for me'ila. So this Goyin Echad, this mysterious Goyin Echad, says an incredible chiddush that the Aron needed sanctification. The Aron, what are they going to do in the Bayis Sheni? They're going to build a beautiful Aron, and they're going to build Kruvim, and they're going to put it inside. They're going to put it inside the Kodesh HaKodashim. It's chulin. How can you introduce, how can you put an aron that's mundane, a box, even though it's a replica of what the aron is supposed to be, into the Kodesh HaKodashim? It's mundane. How are you going to sanctify it? What are you going to do? Oh, we'll take Shemen HaMishcha. We'll smear it with Shemen. There is no Shemen HaMishcha. Oh, so we'll use it. There's no use for it. But here's where he goes on to say something very powerful, which is the main reason why I want to discuss this idea. There is a use. You know how you can possibly be Moshech, sanctify the Aron? By putting the Luchos in the Aron. Putting the Luchos in the Aron is the Avoda of the Aron. We are misled to believe that there's no Avoda that is associated with the Aron. The Shulchan, is there an Avoda associated with the Shulchan? Absolutely. Once a week, the Kohanim, they put the Lechem Haponim upon the Shulchan. You have a Shulchan, and you put on the Shulchan, you arrange on the Shulchan 12 loaves of bread. That's an Avoda. Putting the breads there with the Bazichin is an Avoda. That's a service. The menorah, every single day, you light the menorah. You light, that's an Avoda. The Mizbeach Chazov, you offer Ketores. The Mizbeach HaNechoshes, you bring a carbon, you sprinkle blood. Every part of the Beis HaMikdash has an Avoda. You have a utensil, and you do something with it. The Aron, we are misled to believe, has no, it's just a museum piece. It's there, in a room, locked up, there it is, it represents Torah, it's where we store the Luchos, it's a storage room. No, there is an Avoda. You know what the Avoda, how many times is Avoda done? Maybe it's only done once. Maybe every so often they took out the Luchos to show people. We don't know that they took Goliath. We know that Goliath had the Luchos. What? Oh, during the Bayis Rishon they had the Luchos. During the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Rishon they did not have. That's what I'm coming to. But during the time of the Bayis Rishon, so it appears, there's no time for this, but at least the very first time, if you were to make a new Aron, let's say for argument's sake, let's say the Aron was retired. What?
Mora says it. Like a tefillin, something how you make
it. You use it
until
you put something. You put the tefillin, but putting the tefillin is not necessarily. It gets kedusha because it's being used for the tefillin, but it's not an avoda. It's not necessarily putting tefillin.
Yeah, tefillin,
it's you're using it, but it's but you
okay,
but you but you're not
used for that purpose.
But say, I hear what you say. You say, but by the tefillin, it's more of a storage. Something which is a storage for the tefillin that gets kedusha. But he's saying a much more powerful idea. Putting the Luchos in the Aron, putting it there, is equivalent to being Maktir Kitoires on the Mizbeach Hazav. It's an Avoda. Now, how often was this done? Maybe it was done once. Maybe every so often they took out the Luchos to show what the Luchos looked like. We don't know. We don't know that. Obviously, they had to be looked at once in a while, and then when they put the Luchos in the Aron, you're doing an Avoda. Maybe, let's say for argument's sake, they had to make a new Aron. The Aron was damaged. The Aron wore out. And they how would they sanctify? By taking the Luchos and putting the Luchos in the Aron. You're doing an Avoda, and you're sanctifying the Aron.
So, yeah. Also, when God came in Yom Kippur to mark the Ketores, in the Bayis Sheni, they put it on a stone.
By the Bayis Sheni, they
marked it on a stone,
right?
To see him.
The Kateris on Yom Kippur.
Yes.
When he came in, Kodesh Kadosh.
He did that before this, before the place where the Aron would have stood.
Yeah. So why couldn't that be considered the Avodah?
It was the Avodah. He had no choice.
The Aron had been there.
You mean doing the Kateris before the Aron is what gives the Kedusha? Okay, that's an interesting idea. I hear what you're saying. That every, once a year when you do the Zrikas Hadam Yom Kippurim, that was the Avodah that sanctified the Aron. That's a very interesting idea. I hear what you're saying. He doesn't say that. That would make the question that we should make a new Aron in order to sanctify in that fashion. Interesting. But he this is what his idea. He says the reason why there was no Aron in the Bayis Sheni, this Goin Echon from the Sefer Kimotzei Shol Rav, is the Shol Lo Yachzar, is because there was no Luchos. The Luchos were gone. And you can't make that, you can't do that. That is Poshet Ad Ma'od. You can't go and create your own set of Luchos. The Luchos are Masei Elokim, or it's at least the Michta came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's no Luchos. And so what are we going to do? We're going to make a new Aron. We need to sanctify it. How do you sanctify it? Shem LaMishcha. There is no Shem LaMishcha. What's the next best thing? Is to do the Avoda. What's the Avoda of the Luchos? To take the Aron, to take the Luchos and put the Luchos in the Aron. That would upgrade the Aron to a degree of sanctity. In other words, he agrees. You don't need the Luchos. It would be a very nice thing to have in the Bayis Sheni, in the Kodesh HaKodashim, in Aron. An empty Aron, it represents many powerful concepts. You know, there's encyclopedias just on all the symbolism of what the Aron represents. It would be a wonderful thing to have an Aron without a Luchos. But you can't put a mundane box in the Kodesh HaKodashim. You have to sanctify it. Sanctification comes one of two ways, either to Shem LaMishcha or to Avoda. What's the Shem LaMishcha is gone. What's the Avoda? To take the Luchos and put the Luchos in the Aron. There are no Luchos. You can't sanctify. It would be mundane. We don't want mundane objects in the Kodesh HaKodesh. What's the Musa Haskel from this fart? What's the Musa Haskel? There are people, Reuben, I know, at least I can speak for myself, when I grew up in yeshiva, there are people that are geniuses. And they chop everything in 2 minutes. That's not learning. To know all the information stored, just to download all the information into your brain, that's a wonderful thing. You're an encyclopedia. But part of Talmud Torah is the avoda of learning. There's something to it. Even if you know everything, there is a concept called Talmud Torah, to learn. What are you doing when you learn? What is the ultimate klisharis in this world? A human being. A human being is a klisharis. A human being is made from earth and water. Vayipach ba'ap of nishma Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu took earth, Hashem took water, kneaded it together. Vayipach ba'ap of nishma Hashem, a person is a klichares. A person is a very delicate klichares. It's a klisharis. What do you do when you learn Torah? When you learn Torah, you're taking the luchos and you're putting it in the kalim. You're putting it in the kalim. This is an avoda. Just like when it comes to Makdir Ketores, it's an avoda. It's Poshetos. When you put the Lechem upon him, it's an avoda. When you light the Ner, it's an avoda. Putting the Luchos into the Oron is an avoda. It's not just that. It's storage. If it's storage, if you're very smart and you can absorb everything in 5 minutes, you don't have to spend the whole day learning because you already know everything. But if you look at it as an avoda, every moment when you take the luchos and you put it in the kalim and you sanctify the kalim, it's a whole different league. It's a whole different league. That's the Musar Haskel that comes out of this var from this Goin Echad. The luchos, putting them in the Aron, sanctifies the Aron because that's the avoda. For us as well, when you learn Torah, the moments you spend learning, you're doing an avoda. It's not just a hechatimsa that you should fill up your head. Your head should know what you need to know, the Torah knowledge that.
But even if you put it into, like, you chop right away and you put it into an
so do more.
It's the same thing. It's just going in faster.
But do it again. So for you have the ability to take more things and put more things in society. You know more than everyone else, so you can quit right there. Right? You know, you have already in 5 minutes accomplished more than the average person accomplished in a whole day. So after 5 days, I'm done. Okay, so not everyone is cut out for learning. I'm not coming to make any statements. So not everyone. So in Echnami, Adrabah, you can go get a job. But if you have an opportunity to spend the whole day learning, it's not just every single moment that you learn more is another form of avoda. just like the avod of putting the luchos in, the arod is an avod. It's not just a hechatimsa that your head should be filled, that the box should store the luchos. It's the action, not the result. Okay, let's go to another idea. There's a very interesting Rashi. There's a Rashi that it seemingly doesn't, there's no equivalent to this Rashi in the entire Chumash. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me read you the Rashi. We read this week when we discussed the Aron, we came across this Rashi, where it mentions twice. Let me find the place. Give me 1 second. Pasuk
Jason.
Yeah. Venosato esakapiris al armul malviel aron to the pasuk chof aleph. Pasuk chof aleph perek chof hey pasuk chof aleph. The el haron titain esoedus. Before we go further, I just want to go take 1 step backwards. That's also what I meant to say. This, that's what the pasuk says at the end of the parasha. This same pasuk of Aleph, v'nasata esak haperes al ha'aron milmala, the el ha'aron, and into the aron titain es ha'edus. That pasuk is equivalent to what it says by the shulchan. After it tells you to make the shulchan, it says v'nasata al hashulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid. Putting the bread on the table is the avoda. The avoda, just like it says v'nasata al hashulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid. That's the avoda. The avoda that sanctifies the aron is putting the el ha'aron titein eso edus asher etein elecha. That is the avoda of the aron. Just like by the menorah v'heir. Al Aver Ponecha, you should light the menorah. That's the avod of the menorah. Same thing, putting the luchos into the aron is the avod. Okay.
The pasuk for the Torah that you just finished saying?
Right, that pasuk goes to show, that's why it's the pasuk, it makes that point. It's telling you, it's not like the average person thinks that the aron is just there for storage purposes. Just like it's pasuk when you put bread on the table, you're doing a service. Putting the luchos on the aron is a service. And that translates over to us that we should realize every time we learn, there is something to the learning itself has value. It's not just that you have the knowledge. Having the knowledge would be viewed as storage. Taking in the knowledge is part of the process of Talmud Torah. This is only unique to Klal Yisrael. By the Goyim, they don't understand such a concept. Such a thing, there's something called Talmud Torah. There is just, you have the knowledge, you know, you have the degree, you don't have the degree, you have a PhD, that's it, you're done. You have the knowledge, there's nothing to this idea of actually studying Torah for the sake of studying itself. That is the reason why we don't have an Oren in the Bayis Sheni, because we don't have the way to sanctify it. Okay, now let's go to another idea. We have with this Rashi Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Rashi says, Lo Yodati, I don't know what this means. This idea is repeated twice. Here it says, you shall take the luchos. After we describe you the kapiris, you make the kapiris, and then it says, put the luchos in the aron. It already said this a few psukim before. It said in Pasuk Tezayin, V'nosato el ha'aron, eis ha'edus asher etene lecha. It said this already. So why is the repetition? So Rashi goes on to say, you know, lo yodati, I don't know why lama nichbal. I have no idea why it's repeated. I have no idea. I saw once a drush, they know why it's repeated. One is Tar Shevach Sav, Tar Shevach Al Peh, or one is the Shivri Luchos, one is the Luchos, the second set of Luchos. A lot of drushim, why it is repeated. But Rashi confesses, right off the bat, lo yodati. Wow, what a Rashi. Humility, I don't know. How often do you find today Rosh Hashiva getting up and telling the Tzibur Rabbeisai, I don't know the answer. Unheard of. Now that's not unique, because Rashi says lo yadati 100 times, all over Tanakh in the Gemara. Rashi was never embarrassed to say lo yadati. So what am I telling you that this is unique? Because Rashi goes on to say, I'll tell you the answer. The answer is, now the answer he gives is an extremely bizarre answer, which is extremely difficult. No one, I've never heard a good answer what this means. Now the answer, I'll just tell you, that's the point I want to bring out. That after you make the aron, you should right away put the luchos in the aron. Don't wait to put the luchos in the aron until after you put on the cover. Does that make any sense? If you put on the cover, how do you put in the luchas? Don't wait. Do it right away. So everyone is very disturbed. What does Rashi mean? The pasuk is telling you that you have a choice. You could either put the luchos in immediately, after you make the aron, or if you really wanted to, you can make the box, put the cover on top, and now you could put the luchos inside. The magician, right? A magician.
Well, you build the doors after the base kibble is there.
You have in mind that you finished it.
So that's how someone answers. Someone answer is that it means that don't wait until you finish. It'll take another week to finish the kapores. There'll be a delay. It'll be 2 weeks. I'm going to make the aron. I'm going to make the kapores a week later. It's a lot of work to make the kapores. So during that 1 week period, the interim, so put the luchos in right away. Okay, that's a pshat. It's a doichik. That's an answer. That's an approach to answer Rashi.
Leave it uncovered though?
What? You have no choice. You have no choice that 1 week. Well, anyway, with the luchos, where are they going to be during that top period of time? Luchos, anyway, going to be uncovered for
the. You can put the cover on, that completes the aron, then you can put the luchos by removing the cover and putting it back on.
That's another answer. But these are very, they're not satisfying, these answers. Like, what's going on here? You have a special pasuk telling you, make sure you put the luchos in right away before you put on the cover. As if I had a choice. I have a choice? I don't have a choice. There's the only way you can get the luchos in. So if you really want to go to an extreme, you'll tell me that just like we have a concept in the Kodesh HaKadoshim that Ein Ha'arim Min HaMidah, that when you make measurements, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was, what was the dimensions? It was 10 by 10. If the Aron took up 2.5 by 1.5. So if you would measure from the wall to the Aron, it would be less than 10 from each, because the Aron itself takes up 1.5 or 2.5 on either side. If you made the measurements, guess what? You would find from one end to the other was exactly 5, and from the back wall to the center was exactly 5, and so too from the other two. How could that possibly be? Ein ha'aron min hamida. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's no such thing as space. It's a place that's purely spiritual, and in the world of spirituality, there is no space, and therefore the rules don't apply. Therefore, the luchos certainly had no space. The luchos were spiritual entities. The luchos masse elokim hema. They did not take up any space. So in Chanami, you can be a magician. You can take the luchos and you can put the luchos into the aron after you put the cover on top. Okay, that's a little bit of a Kabbalistic Hasidic art to say such a thing, but maybe there is something to it. But the point, that's not the point we really want to make. The point we want to make is, in Rashi, when Rashi says lo yadati, everywhere in Shas and Chumash and Tanakh, where he says lo yadati, that's where the Rashi ends. Lo yadati. There's a difficulty in this section, this pasuk, and I don't know the answer, and that's where it ends. When Rashi has an answer, Rashi will say, the correct kosha, I have it as a difficulty. What does this mean? The yesh loimar. Yesh loimar always follows a question. Yesh lahakshois kosha, v'im toimar. There are many ways Rashi is accustomed to asking questions. V'im toimar, how could this possibly be? It already said it. The yesh loimar, the answer is such and such. If Rashi has an answer coming at the end, Rashi is not going to start off with lo yodati. And if Rashi, maybe an earlier version, he said lo yodati, the later version, later on in his life, he came up with an answer, so he would delete the old version of lo yodati and phrase it differently, v'im toimar, in order to produce a complete section. Here is a one-of-a-kind Rashi, where Rashi starts at lo yodati, and he goes on, he gives you an answer. Whatever the answer is, that has to be understood what the answer is. But what's happening over here? So obviously the answer is, this is the way Mepharshim explained, it must have been this combination of two different versions. It must have been an earlier version. Rashi wrote Kuntresen. Rashi did not write, everyone knows that Rashi did not write Chumash in one shot. Rashi used to just distribute on the table. You come in anonymously into a base. So can you imagine, like, today you have all these things lying around? Right, all the Rabbanim are enough of these. Who's the first one to distribute pamphlets in shul? Rashi. Rashi was the first one to distribute these pamphlets that you are inundated with in shul. He came in. Which are Schwartz? Which are Schwartz? What? Okay. But Rashi was the first one. He came into shuls and it was anonymous. There was no name. No one can trace him. He just put on the table what he called the kuntres. with different explanations of Rashi. And people read it. It was such a...
Rashi himself.
He wrote it himself. No photocopies, no computers. Rashi wrote multiple copies. Can you imagine if they even had today one copy of the Kuntres? It'd be priceless. I don't think there's a record of anyone, any museum of even one. It says, Pell, why not? Rashi wrote so many of them. What happened to all of those Kuntres? And where did they all disappear? Can you imagine an auction how much it would go for? Millions of dollars to find one of Rashi's handwritten Kuntres. And he wrote, who knows, hundreds of them, maybe even thousands of them. And he gave them at all different shuls, bits and pieces on the parsha. And then Rashi collected it, and eventually he turned into a way of Chumash, Perish of Rashi and Chumash. But obviously, there has to be, it's logical to say that Rashi at one point in time wrote Lo Yodati, I don't know the answer, and later in his life he came up with a solution, and then he said V'yesh Lomar. But this must have happened multiple times. In other parts of Shas... What? That's the question. That's the point. It's exactly the point. That's exactly... What? Why did Rashi Bechlau write Loyodati? That's another question. He wants to show that not everything do you have to know. Not everything do you know. Yeah, Talmud Chochmah has to recognize this. So the answer... So over here we see a very powerful concept. There's a lot of Chochmah in Rashi, obviously. It's an understatement. But Rashi here wanted to teach you. He left this one-of-a-kind thing specifically by the Aron. The Aron represents Talmud Torah, and Rashi, in a very interesting way, is teaching a person Yogati Umatzasi Tamin. He's teaching you a concept that when it comes to Torah, this is the only place in these. This was said by the Aron. The Aron is all about Torah. You shall put in the Aron the Torah, the Luchos. The person is the Aron. The Aron is the human being. We discussed this week. Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. The Atzei Shitim. The middle of the Aron is wood. It's the human being. The person is the Kalim. And you put in the Kalim, you put the Torah. And when you put the Kalim, when you take Torah and you try to take a concept of Torah and try to bring it into your mind, it's natural. It's natural in life when you take the Luchos and you put the Luchos into the Kalim, you're going to have difficulty. And you're going to come to a state, you're going to say, Lo Yodati. I don't know, I don't understand. And what should a person say to himself? Say, try again, and you'll come up with a solution. And eventually you'll come to a time where it will be V'yesh Lomar. If Rashi would have edited his edition and would have just said, V'yim Toimar, why does it say this? And it says already another time, I have a question of why it says twice to put the Luchos, V'yesh Lomar. So that's the way it goes. If you're a student and you get an F, you're out. You don't know the answer. Get out of the class. You don't belong here. Go get a job. You don't belong. The Torah is not for you. Rashi is teaching here when it comes to the idea of putting the Luchos in the Aron. You know what? It's normal. It's natural to get an F. Imloi nafalti loi kamti. If I did not fall, then I would not have stood. It's taka lo yodati. That's natural. And you know what? V'yesh Leimar. You come later to a point later on in your life where now you understand. And this concept is the only place where it appears in Gan Shas, in Chamisha Chumshe Torah. Where? In the theme of Talmud Torah. Because Talmud Torah is captured in the Psukim of putting the Luchos in the Aron. The Aron is man's mind. It's man's body. The Eitz, the Atzei Shitim, Ki Odom Eitz HaSadeh, the Luchos is the Torah HaKadosha. That's the way it goes, Rashi says. Lo Yodati, and then V'yesh Loimar. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have in the Aron, Kruvim. Now, how many Kruvim are there?
Two.
Well, there are two. There are two on the Aron. But there are a lot of Kruvim. We're also there Kruvim. There are three sets of Kruvim in the Mishkan. There are Kruvim embroidered into the Paroiches, and there are Kruvim embroidered into the Urios on the outside. Three sets of Kruvim. The Mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, there were even more. They had on the walls. They had a lot of Kruvim all over the place. But in the Mishkan, look at the parasha very carefully, there are three sets of Kruvim. The real Kruvim, the gold Kruvim, the Miksha Kruvim, right on top of the Aron, and there are Kruvim on the Paroiches. And those Kruvim, you have to be like in the Pasuk, were very choshev. The way they were embroidered was equivalent, okay, this is not for now, of Miksha. Just like there's a concept of Miksha in metal, one piece of material, when you weave, when you embroider in such a skillful way where there are designs on both sides, on both sides and there's no stitching involved, that's equivalent to mikshah, one piece of metal in the world of weaving, in the world of tapestries. It's a very, that's, but then there's the kuvim that are on the uriyos, which cover the roof of the entire structure. What are the kuvim? Kuvim represent children, right? Kuvim krachia chinuch habanim. And so, what's the Musa Haskel? The Musa Haskel is they're all different types of children. They're all different types of children which have a different connection towards Taurus. Unfortunately, some people complain today that you can't get yourself into yeshiva unless you're an A student, right? Everyone is only looking for the Aleph Talmidim. But if you're not, we're not for you. You have to go find a special school if you're not on a caliber where you're going to become the next Gadol Hadar. We're not for you. And there are other schools where they'll train you to prepare you for what you're meant to be in life. Whatever that means. I know nothing about chinuch. I'm just making up words. But one thing we see here that the Torah. I'm giving just a half baked word for you to develop on your own. But we do see here in the Torah there are different types of children, and every child has a different place. They're children that are mamish resting on the luchos. They're right there. They're right in direct contact in the kodesh hakadoshim on the luchos. They're 100% pure. They're miyuchit for greatness in Torah. But not everyone is like that. There are children that are hanging on the walls. meaning it's on the paroches. It's on the paroches. The paroches is also...
I thought he meant
Yashkes.
The paroches... The paroches is also in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Let's not make any mistake. The paroches is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but the paroches is mavdol bein HaKodesh l'Kodesh HaKadoshim. There are people out there in this world, they're very successful askanim, who are involved in supporting Torah. They themselves are not the Klei Kodesh, they themselves are not the Rabbanim, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Gedolei Yisrael, but they're their support team. They're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with them, the Gaboyim. They're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with them. They're mavdil ben HaKodesh ben HaKodesh HaKadoshim. They're involved in matters of the utmost holiness. They're not on the Aron, but they're there. They are children looking at one each other. They're trained. And then there are people that are not cut out for that either. Not everyone is meant to be an askan. There are people who are very successful professionals, workers, or they do all different things. They contribute in many great ways, in very great ways to their world. Their tafkid is to be a shelter on the outside of the Mishkan, the Urias. The Urias was protection. It's not necessarily in the Kodesh. There's the Urias was in the Kodesh HaKodesh as well. But the Urias covered the entire Kodesh, the entire structure. The children that are embroidered into the fabric of the Nichseh, the covering of the Hashras HaShchina. Not the Kodesh HaKodeshim. They're not Mavdu Bein the Paroiches, which is even closer. They're out in the world. They're in contact with the environment, with society. But they're also children, and they're also connected. They're all mechuber. Torah recognizes, and it's davar pashad moed. I mean, that's why I'm telling you that you have to just develop this in your own way. But it's davar pashad moed. Everyone is cut out for something different. Not everyone is cut out to be the Gadol Hadar, and not everyone is cut out to be the biggest Saska, and not everyone is cut out to be the biggest doctor. Every child has their place. But the common denominator of all the Kruvim, they're all connected to the Mokoim of Hashras HaShchina. Every one of these three different categories, they're all part of the Mishkan. There's no such thing as a child that's outside.
No child left behind,
exactly. There's no child outside. They're all there. Where you are, not everyone's the same. Torah recognizes that. There's not one size fits all. How far you take this in Hashkafa of Chinuch Habanim is debatable, but at least there's something here to work with. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this is a short idea. I'll tell you a little controversial idea. The question is better than the answer. The question is, every Mitzvah Shabbos, we make Havdalah, we say, Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'chol, ubein Yisrael lo'amim, ubein, what do we say? Yoy Mashvi l'sheish l'me hamaseh. So what, when we make Havdalah, we mention two different items. What do we start with? We start with the holier, and then we proceed to the more mundane. Kodesh is the holy, right? That's the goal. And then it's chol. Bein Yisrael la'amim. We don't want to be from the Amim. We're not from the Amim. Yisrael. This is the Iker. La'amim. Bein Shabbat. Bein Or L'Choshach. Or and Choshach. The pattern is you always start with the ideal, with the higher level, and then we proceed to the lower level. Well, that's how we interpret it. Kodesh, relative to Chol, is Kodesh is the way you want to be. Yisrael versus Lum Omus HaOlam, you want to be with Yisrael. Ar and Choshech, you want to be with Ar. So we're always going from where you want to be to what is lesser. Problem then is, the Parochas, how does the Torah describe the Parochas? It's also Havdalah. V'yivdilo lechem ha-Parochas, bein ha-Kodesh, uvein ha-Kodesh ha-Kodoshim. So it's the other way around. If you were writing the pasuk based upon the way you've been taught to say Havdalah, well, how would you describe the Parochas? V'yivdilo ha-Parochas lechem bein ha-Kodesh ha-Kodoshim, uvein HaKodesh. So it should be the other way around. So you tell me Malam HaKodesh, but be Malam HaKodesh, so you should say Ben Chol HaKodesh. So you want to answer their pshat is, once you're already dealing with Kodesh, then we apply a different rule of your Kodesh, you're going to go higher in Kodesh. But we're dealing with Chol, so then you start with Kodesh versus Chol. That's an answer, very good answer. What you want to say is that once you're already in the category of Kodesh, once you're in the category of Kodesh, so when you want to differentiate, you go to differentiate going up, Malin Bakodesh. But when you're differentiating between Kodesh and Chol, then you go backwards. You focus on. Right, okay, that's a very good answer. That's what. But I want to suggest a little bit of a Jush, which may be totally wrong, but I think it's an idea to think about. When we write Kodesh, when we say Ben Kodesh L'Chol, so we translate, you're going to a lower level. It's not a matter of going to a lower level, it's bound to a level, a place where you don't belong. You don't belong in Chol. The whole goal in this world is to sanctify the Chol. Everything should be Kodesh. Every single day of the week we say Hayom Yom Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos. The whole goal is Tosef HaShabbos. You start Shabbos a little bit early, you end Shabbos a little bit late. The whole week you prepare anything that you good you come across, you dedicate for Shabbos. The goal in this world is that there should not be Chol. Everything shall be infused with sanctity. Correct? That's a fair statement. There is chol, that is correct, and we're permitted to enjoy chol, but the goal is to take the chol and elevate the chol. The goal is everything shall be infused with kodesh. Now, certainly when it comes to Yisrael and Umos Ha'olam, Ben Yisrael Lo'amim, you don't want to go there. Okay, there's no, you're not going there. The only goal is to bring them to us. If that's a questionable thing, if you want them to come to us, but there's no that's not where you're going. Ben Or LaChoshech, of course, Choshech is not a good thing. You want Adrab at night, you make the night the Choshech. So it's not to be interpreted necessarily that. To be interpreted that you're going bin Kodesh L'Chol, you're going down. Bin Kodesh L'Chol means Hashem makes Havdalah where you're supposed to be and where you're not supposed to be. Very big difference. It's not that we're going down. You have a hierarchy. There's Kodesh, that's on the top of the ladder, and then there's Chol, you're going down. There's Yisrael Umasan. No, that's not the issue. Maybe that is an issue. But the point is, this is where you're supposed to be and where you're not supposed to be. Where are you supposed to find yourself in this world? Which side of the line? In the Kodesh side or in the Chol side? In the Kodesh side. Are you supposed to find yourself in the Yisrael side of the Umos HaOlam? The Yisrael? Or a Choshech? So too, this is the Musahaska. When it comes to the Parochas is Ma'al Bein HaKodesh or Bein HaKodesh HaKodashim. Where are you not supposed to be? In the Kodesh HaKodashim. The Chol Zor Lo Yovei El, Zor is not going to go B'chal in the Kodesh either, but it means even the Kohen Gadol, even the only, the Kodesh HaKodashim is off limits. Now what I mean is, it's not just off limits, only the Kohen Gadol goes in once a year, but we have to recognize that in this world, even in matters of Kedusha, there are things where that are off limits. We live in a society today where America, Baruch Hashem, you can have it all. That's the attitude. The attitude is you can have it all. And that translates into Torah, anyone can be a Rosh Hashiva. Anyone can paskin any halacha. The most difficult shaila in halacha, if you're just sitting in 8th grade and you have all the sources and you have Yitzra HaChachma, you yourself go on the computer and you are entitled to decide the greatest questions in this world. That's a certain attitude that we live with in this world. You can have it all. You're entitled, you're equal, everyone is equality. Torah is teaching us, it's true, you can have a lot, but there are things in the world of Kedusha where a person has to know his place, where it's not your place. Yisrael, there are limits. There's a Yisrael, there's a Levi, and there's a Kohen. There are limits. A Yisrael cannot be a Kohen, no matter how good, no matter how much better you are than the Kohen. If you're not a Kohen, you cannot do the Avodah. There are limits. There are limits in Kedusha. Nadav Aviv Makrav and Eish Zorah Shalotziva Hashem. You can't have, you have, a person has to recognize in Torah, in Kedusha, Vivdila Lachem HaParochas Bein HaKodesh Uvein HaKodesh HaKodashim. The order is precise. Just like we make Havdalah, we start with Kodesh L'chol, Ben Or L'choshech, Ben Yisrael Amin, Ben Yom HaShvi L'Sheish Yimei HaMaseh. We start in order where it's not a matter of going down. We start where you're supposed to be and where you're not supposed to be. It's so too in the world of Kedusha. There's a place to be and there's a place where you have to recognize that in this world it's not your place. It's Kodesh HaKodashim, not. You can't have your hands in every little.
Even Moshe Rabbeinu.
Exactly.
Mem test shari
bina. There's a limit. Our makom in this world is kodesh, and it's not kodesh hakodashim. But it's important for us to recognize that there is a kodesh hakodashim, and for us it's off limits. Adam Arishon, you can eat whatever you want, but the Eitz Hadas, Toivara, the Eitz HaChayim, it's not for you. It's not for you. Adam says, no, it's for me. It is for me. No, it's not where you belong. It's something very holy. Maybe there's a time for it, but not now. So Mimela, the order indeed is very precise. Kodesh is where we belong. Kodesh HaKodesh is where we do not belong. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. We have in this week's parasha the Lechem HaPanim. There's a machlokes in the Gemara as to the shape of the Lechem HaPanim. What did it look like? So it's two opinions. So some of the good, the better picture books show the different opinions. One is like a box, a teva perutza. And the other opinion says it was like a swift boat. It was round. It was a round type of bread, which resembled a canoe, or a boat, speedboat, which can go there. What is this name? Why is the Torah giving us two examples of what the Lechem HaPanim look like? So perhaps we can suggest a little bit of a drush. We find a teva in the Torah. Where is the teva in the Torah? Noach. Noach built the teva. And what happened in the teva? He brought in all the animals. What did the animals eat for a year, for a whole year? Whatever they wanted. Parnasa was not an issue. The parnasa came to them. We had a box. This massive box, the teva of Noah, was floating in the water. All the creatures were living. And parnasa was provided. The parnasa was given to them. What does a svina represent? Smach zavulon bitzei secha v'yisachar be'ohelecha. In time of the Chazal's terminology, it's very clear that if you want to make a good parnasa, you got to travel. Find it all over in Tanad. You have to go do commerce. You have to go to other countries, to Ophir, and to expeditions. Trade. Business requires trade. Zavulun were very wealthy. Zavulun supported Yisachar. Zavulun was wealthy. Why was Zavulun wealthy? Because they lived on ships, and they traveled the world. And they traded. They brought their property. They brought things all over the world. A boat represents the concept where you are traveling far and wide throughout the world to gain, to acquire parnasa. What's the Musar Haskel? The Shulchan represents parnasa. That's what the Shulchan is all about. The Shulchan is Parnasa. On the Shulchan is Lechem Aponim. The Lechem Aponim, some say, relates to the Mon. It's Parnasa. What is Parnasa? So the truth is, there are different, some people, there are different types of people. There are some people that have merits, or for whatever reason have mazel, where the Parnasa comes to them. Their Parnasa is doimed to a Teva Perutza. The Teva Perutza is Misanel. The Parnasa comes to them just like the Parnasa came to all of the creatures that were in Noach's Teva, where they did not have to travel the world. The Parnasa came to them. And there are other people that are not, that are different types of people, and they enjoy the expedition, and they have to be like Zevulun, a Svina, a swift boat, where they have to travel the world, explore the world, go out on expeditions to get Parnasa. The Musar Haskel is Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Whether your Parnasa is the Teva Prutza, whether your Parnasa is done into the Svina, it's all Mushrash on the Shulchan that is Lefnei Hashem. The Parnasa all comes from the same source. There are different types of people. There are different. There's not one size fits all. It's all Merumas in the different shapes of the Lechem Aponim. Okay, well, that will stop. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Oh, one more last Vard. No, they're very, very short. Don't worry. Don't go yet. This is very short. This week is Shabbos, Parshas, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So normally the Haftorah relates. It relates to the parsha, and when you have a Shabbos that the Haftarah relates to the theme of the parsha. Oh, but when it's Rosh Chodesh or when it's a Yom Tov, it's whatever it is, it's Chanukah. So you forget about the parsha, forget about it. The Rabbi's Rosh is going to be about the Moed. It's going to be about Chanukah, about Purim, about Shabbos Zohar, Shkolim, whatever it is. Rosh Chodesh is the same thing. Every so often, Rosh Chodesh is Chal v'Shabbos, so we forget about the parsha, forget about it, and let's focus on the theme of Rosh Chodesh. But this week, we get a bonus. Because this week, the Haftorah relates directly as well to the parsha. The theme of the parsha is V'osuli Mikdosh V'shachanti B'sochem, the Mokom Hashras Hashchina V'klal Yishol Oyla to come to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And how is the Haftorah? What is the Haftorah? V'yadmidei Chodesh B'chodshoi Midi Shabbos B'Shabbat V'Shabbato Yovo Chol Ha'om Yisrael Kol Basar L'Hishtach Avos L'Hashem. The end of the Haftorah is we're all going to come to the base Hamikdosh, to Yerushalayim, to the Mokom Hashras Hashchina, to bow down to Hashem. It's not just the Haftorah that relates to Rosh Chodesh, Midrash Chodesh B'chodesh. It's exactly the theme of the parasha. It's to build a structure for the Mokom Hashras Hashchina where we can come and absorb the Shechina, Yavai Chol Basar L'Shtach V'Yisrael Hashem. It's a very special week where the Haftorah captures both the parasha and the Moed in Yonah Diyoma. Omrachan Rekashia, 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 Rekashia,